My wife forgot one announcement that was forgotten last week, and she was going to do it so that I didn't be silly. But as they walk off the stage, Devon and Ali, just a few weeks ago, you may have remember, I made a comment that they were matching clothes. Well, who would have thought that simple comment would spark Devon into action? And so, you're welcome. But Devon and Ali are now engaged, everybody. So we are so excited for you guys. We love you guys. And yeah, we're thrilled for you both. Let me just pray for this time as we get into the Word. And also I'm going to pray for you guys as well as you prepare for this exciting event, but ultimately a life together. So we're thrilled for you both. Father God, we thank you for this time together as we just come before you. Lord, I thank you for Devon and Ali and the giftings on not just on stage but in life of your calling, your filling of your Holy Spirit in their lives. And Jesus, we thank you for bringing them together. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you just continue to fill them individually and together as they unite in love with you at the center. So Father God, as preparations for the wedding will begin or have started and going ahead, Lord God, I just pray you lead them. You give them wisdom, give them patience. And Father God, we just ask for a blessing on them this day and going forward. And God, as we just look at your word, open our eyes and our hearts to receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this week, a little bit different. As we've been away, I've used my sermon as my kind of devotion whilst I was away on vacation. And one of our goals in 2020, I mean, it's our goal really every year, is for us to grow deeper in the Word, to get deeper into God's Word together. And so this morning, I'm kind of sharing my sermon, the parable that we'll be going through, in a kind of a devotional kind of, well, how I do my devotional, should I say, format. And I've shared it before, and hopefully it'll be coming on the screen. There it is, and it's soap. Soap is good for the body and for the soul. Whatever. And in this biblical format, I didn't create this, by the way. I'm not that smart, but somebody did, and I liked it. And it's scripture, observation, application, and prayer. So you read the scripture, you dig into it and look at the observation. What is going on in the context of what we are reading? Not just skimming through it. We want to have eyes that are ready to receive. It kind of goes back to where, you know, we talked a few weeks ago of listening, just not just hearing. So not just skimming through scripture, but really receiving it. So got to observe what is going on in the context, in the culture. What is Jesus saying in this parable, for example? And then it's, how does that apply to my life? This is the living word. How does this speak to me, apply to me today? And then we pray about it. God, give us strength, give us wisdom to put that into action. So this is how I'm going to go through my sermon this morning. And then hopefully, for those who maybe are looking for ways to get deeper into the Word, feel free to use this in your own personal devotion. So the scripture that we're looking at, the parable, is in Luke. Now, because I want to look at it in context, I'm actually going to be using a few verses before the parable. But this is what it reads, Luke 12, verse 32 to 48. "So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it and no moth can destroy it. Whether your treasure is there or the desires of your heart will also be there. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning as though you are waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready at all time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Then Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant into pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. And a servant who knows what the master wants but isn't prepared and doesn't want to carry out those instructions will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. So that's the scripture. And so then I look at let's have a look at the observations. What do we see here? What is Jesus talking about? Well, the first things that I noticed was first of who Jesus is talking to. Jesus is talking to, the flock, the followers. And Jesus is speaking to the followers and then more directly in a little bit to his disciples. There's a large crowd, but then he kind of narrows down and focuses on his disciples. He starts off with giving a huge blessing. He starts off by saying to his followers, the flock, the sheep, the servants, he says, I'm going to give you what you need. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Remember 2 weeks ago when we talked about our wants versus needs, and the need in light of eternity is to be in the will of God. It is to be before him. It is to please him. It is to receive the kingdom. And Jesus here is saying, don't be afraid, because we are pleased to give you what you need. You need the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to give you that. But then he straight away, after this amazing blessing, to say to those who are following, I'm going to give you what you really need. He straight away gives a warning, or gives actually encouragement. He says, sell your possessions. He says, sell those treasures. Why? Because these things will distract you from receiving the kingdom. I want you to receive what is good for you, what is essential for you. And the things of this earth, the things ultimately that Satan kind of puts before us and makes it look so tempting and so beautiful, the things that we go, I would love to have that and store that, potentially could be a huge distraction. So Jesus is saying, just get rid of them. Sell those, give them away. And then he gets into this parable of this master. Obviously a wealthy master because he has servants, goes off to a wedding party, and he gives his instructions to his servants to keep the house going, to keep it prepared. Not just stand outside and when I'm coming, run inside and switch the light on. No, you have to keep the oil going, keep the lamps burning. That takes effort. He says the master goes away and the servants are to keep the house prepared, so that when he comes back, it's ready for him. And Jesus, in this example, is saying, and the master will reward them. The master will, in fact, serve them. I mean, what kind of master does that? When you think of a master and servant, you don't think of the master serving the servants for doing a good job. But that's what's happening in this parable. And then, did you observe as well, when Jesus says, you be prepared for when the Son of Man returns. That's him. So, and we observe that Jesus is the master. He is the master that we are to be prepared for in his return. And then Peter, good old Peter, he asks, Well, who are you talking to? Are you talking to us, disciples, who are kind of right in front of you? Are you talking to the whole gathering that are listening on? And so Jesus clarifies of who the servants are and even who the lead servants are. He kind of gives a clarification that in verse 47, the lead servant is the one that knows the will of the master. But ultimately, all the flock are servants. All are to serve the master. And Jesus says that you do good with the little, you'll be rewarded with more. But if you're lazy with it, if you're unfaithful with it, it'll be taken away and, in fact, even punished. And so those were some of the observations. And the beauty of Scripture is those jumped out to me. When you read this Scripture or other Scriptures, the Holy Spirit may be jumping other aspects out to you. And so those are some of the observations. And so then I go, okay, let's have a look at some applications. God, how do we apply this to our lives? This isn't just a nice storybook or a historical book. This is the living word. How does this apply to my life? And here are just a few applications that I received from reading this. And again, as you dig deep into this and you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, I'm sure there are other applications that jump to you in this same passage. But what jumped out to me at first was I just love how Scripture, especially these parables that we've been going through as a sermon series, just entwine together. That how just a couple of weeks ago, Jesus is telling them the differences between their needs and wants. And then straight away here, he's saying, I'll give you. I love you that much. I'll give you what you ultimately need. And so here he's talking to people that hopefully have received this great gift. And so what is about to be said, the instructions that are about to happen, the parable that he's about to preach on, is for those of us who've received, those of us who have accepted Christ as Savior, those of us who say, yeah, you are the Master, you are Lord, that you have given me life, I am a follower. Then listen up. Listen to the words that Jesus is teaching. First thing that jumped out to me after that is, what are the distractions that get in the way of receiving those kingdom? This is a personal reflection, and I use this as my personal devotional over the last 10 days. And so I had time to reflect on my own life, of my own treasures, of things that in my life that I may, or certainly at times do, store, hold on to. And if I'm honest, distract me from growing further in maturity in Christ. There's even things that I probably look back on in the last year or two that maybe we've purchased or put time into that as I reflect and I go, you know what? Yeah, probably shouldn't have done that one. I probably spent a bit too much time focusing on that. Probably shouldn't have bought that. That was a distraction. This is the beauty and the grace of God that he allows us to grow, allows us to learn, allows us to mature. As we dig into him, as the Spirit feeds us, we mature and we learn. And hopefully we're able to teach others. But that's a personal reflection. That's not for you to point fingers at someone else and go, he has three houses. He came here by helicopter, right? How distracted are them? No. It's a personal reflection to go, what is in my life, things that I'm storing that I go, if I'm honest, if that was taken away from me, I would be ruined. I'd be distraught. I'd be destroyed. It would be the end of me. It wouldn't be who I am. Are there those things in your life that you hold on so dearly? Those riches, those temptations, whatever it may be, they're a distraction. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into that and then be a wise servant or follower and do something about it. And then get into the parable. As when we observe that Jesus is the master in the parable, I kind of thought of a couple of questions. If Jesus is the master and we are the servants, two questions. One, what is our responsibility whilst the master is away, before he returns? What is our responsibility? And the second thing that jumped to me is, who is the lead servant? And what are their responsibilities? And so I further again looked into that scripture, and again verse 47 jumped out to me when it talks about the will, the lead servants knowing the will of the master. And so ultimately, it's kind of a broad spectrum of the lead servant. If you in your life have grown in maturity in your faith and have said, I surrender to the will of God, I follow him, his teaching, his life, and I want to surrender my life to him, then I would say, then you're part of that. Now, absolutely, there's going to be also the thought of church leaders would maybe be seen as lead servants. I mean, even if you look in Ephesians, Paul talks about how God has given the church leaders to equip the church, not to equip themselves, but to equip the church. Either way you see it, I kind of go, okay, God, what is our responsibility? What do you want us to do to be good and faithful servants? Do you simply want me and want us to be just studying deeply end time scripture so that we can pinpoint and work out when you return? So that when you return, we go, okay, everyone get ready, get ready, get rid of your sold stuff, get rid of your treasure. Okay, look good. You know, I think of it like this. In the UK, in the schools, some of the schools have prefects. Did you guys have prefects at school? Head boy and head girl. So some schools had a head boy and a head girl in their school. They were the kind of the pretty well-educated, good student, well-behaved, good example. I was not that one. But the head boy or the head girl, that they had some responsibility. They were to be the hall monitors, for example. If people were goofing around, they were to go to the teachers and say, hey, I saw, you know, Bernie over there, you know, doing whatever, and right. Or they were to be, you know, to lead by example in how they do their work and how they behave if the teacher was to leave the class. They got some responsibility, some privileges. They got to eat their lunch in the teacher's lounge. I'm not sure that's a privilege, but whatever, you know. Except for our teachers here, I'd love to spend all the time in the world with them. And so the way I kind of thought of this parable was, say you had a class and you had the head boy or head girl in that class, and the teacher goes out to do some photocopying or text their fiancé or whatever teachers do when they're skipping out of class. And the head boy or head girl is in charge, is to be responsible. But what they do is when the teacher leaves the classroom is they sneak out the door and just keep watch. And they allow everyone else to goof around. Paper airplanes, you know, giving people wedges, I don't know, doing whatever you do when the teacher's out. And then what their job was to do is to listen for the footsteps of the teacher. So when the teacher comes around the corner, they go, okay, everyone back to your desks. And everyone runs back to the desks and start doing work. And so the teacher walks in and goes, oh, wow. But when the teacher goes home to do their marking, starts looking at the work and going, they didn't do what I said to do. And so the next day in class, they come back to that classroom and say, hey, you guys goofed around. I could see this by your work. And so the whole class gets punished. Why? Because the whole class should know better. But the head boy, the head girl, well, they'll get further punished because they encouraged it. So they would be stripped of their rewards and stripped of their privileges. And, you know, I see this passage when I read this and go, there may be some who think our role as pastors is to just spend our time, just study end times and keep teaching on, okay, we're seeing some signs here, people. We're seeing some signs that any moment he's going to get back, so quickly behave. And I'm not saying don't read into end signs. It's in scripture. Read them. But I believe when we read Revelation, I believe when we read Daniel, when we read Jesus' words on end times, I don't believe it's there for us to quickly go, oh, we now need to behave, because he sees right through that. I believe that's to give us comfort, that when we see disasters happen, when we see wars happening, when we experience persecuting, that we can experience a comfort in knowing God is in control, that God is over this, that he hasn't run away and left us, that he is in control, and we are to continue serving. And so then, what is our role as servants? Well, it's ultimately this. It's to know the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is for us to know him, is to us to worship him, is to us to grow deeper into him, is for us to make Christ-like disciples in him, is for us to love, it's for us to be generous, it's us to preach the word, it's for us to live it out, it's for us to be servants. That's what we are to do. That's what we have to focus on. And the responsibility on the lead servers, whether it be pastors, whether it be church leaders, whether it be elders amongst the congregation, is to encourage others to follow the will of the Father, is to get deeper into him, is to grow into him, is to surrender to him, because he is the big picture. It is about his will. Here's sometimes the things that we confuse in church. And sometimes we can neglect the will of the master and focus on the will of the lead servant. You see, our role as leaders is to go by this, is go by the word, is go by our Father. And so I encourage you to dig into this, to keep us in line in what we teach and what we're saying, but ultimately, so we are all going by the will of the Father and not by the will of the seniors or the will of the younger people or the will of the new pastor or the will of the board or whatever it might be, but it's ultimately all the will of God. That is what we are to do. And that is our purpose as the servants. It's to not be distracted by the many temptations, and there are, the many things that might try and tell us different, the many theories, whatever they may be, that potentially could take our eyes of what he has called us to do. So that's why I'm using the soap, because I feel that's my role. Is to encourage you not to just come here and listen to me, but is to help you and I get deeper into knowing God, getting to know our Master who wants to bless you amongst more than you can possibly imagine. I mean, Jesus here is the Master, and he talks about in this parable the Master serving. Well, what did Jesus come to do? He came to serve. He gave his life. For us, for you and I, because he loves you. He delights in you. But he says, be watchful. Don't be fallen just to the glamour of what maybe Satan tempts us to focus on. But focus on him. Don't be a distraction to others, but point them to the Master. Encourage them to follow his will, which is ultimately to receive the kingdom, to receive him in all his glory. And the final thing that we do is we pray. So as we pray, I'll invite the band to come forward. But as we pray, we'll ask God to reveal in us those things that may be our distraction, those things that we are holding on to. Father God, we thank you that you are the Master, a Master that loves, a Master that came to serve, the Master that gives life. And thank you that you give us your word to, for us to follow. Help us set our eyes on you, Jesus. Holy God, in this moment, I pray just speak into our hearts and mind if there's anything that we are holding on to that is a distraction, that it may hinder us receiving you. God, I pray, speak. Father God, I pray for humbling. There may be some here today that goes, I ain't no servant. I ain't no sheep. I'm no follower. God, I pray for a humbling to receive you, maybe for the first time, to receive your goodness, to receive life in you for the first time, freedom in you for the first time. Lead us, God. Whether we're been here many years, whether we're just new into this, into following you, I pray you lead us. And I pray that each and every one of us seek you, seeks your will, seeks to please you. God, I pray for those who you've called to lead. I pray for humbling. I pray for clarity. I pray, Father God, that our eyes are always set on you and that our desire is always to point others to you, to your word, to your truth. And I pray that you speak through any servant, any sheep, any follower, that maybe if we ever do speak a word that is not of you, that it's made clear. God, that we just want to serve you. Jesus, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you that you came to serve, that you led by example, and you want us to follow. For those faithful here, Father God, I ask that you just continue to give responsibilities, to give blessings as they continue to be faithful in you. And for those of us maybe that are here today that are just sitting, waiting for your return, and just waiting for someone to say you're coming and they'll just quickly get into shape, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak into their hearts right now. That is not your will. Your will is for them to live it now. So God, I pray, speak. And we listen.